It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. On the phone now, Thor Nystrom from Roto World writes about college football, fantasy college football, which just got a little news spike this past week, the NFL draft, all for Roto World. He's here to talk about Penn State in all of those contexts. And Thor, I think it's really interesting timing to have you on. We've been discussing it for well over a month now, and we do it about a week or so after Yahoo rolls out a college fantasy football platform. So the timing is nice.
It is. Yeah. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So just tell me about that. Did you know that Yahoo was making this move? I know that you've had to go, I want to use the word underground a little bit, to play fantasy college football in the past. Now it gets kind of pushed onto the national stage.
Yeah, it really does. I've been playing college fantasy football now for over a decade. What I used to do it on was CBS. They stopped offering it maybe like 5-6 years ago or something. And then Fantrax started offering it like maybe 3 years ago. So Fantrax has been the only game in town for about the past 2 or 3 years. And now, like you said, now we have a national website coming back into the game. So I'm hoping that this is the impetus for ESPN to jump in, for CBS to come back, and for college fantasy football to really take hold like I think it should.
Yeah, I just don't understand why it hasn't, I guess. I just assumed along the way that maybe college football, the NCAA, threw up some red tape to make it not as accessible, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, it's sort of awkward, right? It's like the whole gambling on amateur sports things, or the reason they pulled down the DFS stuff for college on DraftKings and FanDuel. And, you know, I think then you don't have the major sites behind it. You know, if ESPN's not behind it and Yahoo wasn't behind it before and stuff like that, people just don't have access to it. You know, I've had a bunch of people over the past couple of years tell me like, oh, I didn't even know you could play college fantasy football. And I had to direct them to Fantrax. And now hopefully with it being more on the radar, more people are going to give it a shot.
So I guess just compare and contrast the idea of playing college fantasy football and pro fantasy football. I believe, you know, volume is something that is worth watching closely, where there's volume in college football that you just don't see in the pro game.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say college fantasy football is a lot more fun than NFL fantasy football. NFL fantasy football, here's my issue with NFL fantasy football. When I go into a draft with my friends, a snake draft with my friends, I essentially know in advance the way the first 5 to 6 rounds are going to play out. We're just sort of wasting our time. We could all be on auto draft and the draft would more or less play out as it's going to play out with all of us in there. In college, it is completely different. You know, only 3 or 4 guys nationally put out rankings, and there's not many outside of me that put out free rankings. My rankings are free on Roto World. There's a couple guys who have premium rankings available, but outside of that, there's just not a lot of information out there that is available. And even the people who are breaking it down, I can see the same stuff as my friend Mike Bainbridge, who works at Athlon, or some of these other guys, and we can come to completely different conclusions. And Penn State is a great example this year. You know, what we look at is, you mentioned it before, you said volume, you know, I say usage. You know, you want to look at the projected usage and the projected touches for all the different players that you're breaking down. But also you want to look at the system that they're in. And that's sort of the cool thing about college fantasy is, you know, you'll have different coaching staffs. You'll have different coordinators coming in with different philosophies. The players come and go within, you know, somewhere between the 3 to 5 year window. So you constantly have new players. You have the new coaches. There's vastly different offensive systems, you know, so you have to sort of decide like, oh, you know, what is this triple option quarterback? What is he worth in relation to this air raid quarterback, but at a secondary school, like a guy like Ty Gangi, who plays at Nevada? They run an air raid. Like, how does he compare to, you know, Navy's quarterback this year or Army's quarterback this year or whatever? So I find that a ton of fun.
Well, let me start on that front, Trace McSorley. I haven't seen where you got him in your rankings. Yahoo, I believe, had him number 5. Let's discuss expectations for a guy that you've seen 2 years from him, but then the offense, the nature of it, I'm sure we'll discuss this on our shows for a few more weeks yet. The dynamic changes a great deal without Saquon Barkley, but how does that factor into your expectations for a kid like Trace?
Sure. Well, I have him 11. I think, you know, Yahoo, they're probably seeing him on the sunny side of it. I'm trying to sort of split the middle. And basically, McSorley was one of the hardest guys among the quarterbacks for me to rank. I went back and forth on his ranking probably 10 times or so while I was doing my rough draft. I would move him up. I would move him down a little bit. I'd move him back up a little bit. And it's just kind of hard, right? Because the new offensive coordinator is coming in, and you know, we sort of hope that the offense is very similar. Obviously, it looked that way against Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. But not only that, which is a small question mark, but obviously you lose Saquon is huge. You lose Deshaun Hamilton, which is huge. You lose Mike Gesicki. So there's a lot of question marks there, and that's why I sort of took his ranking back a little bit. But I'm still pretty high on him. I think the system, like I said, is going to remain fairly similar. The cool thing about McSorley the past couple years is he's not one of these guys who relies on one or two guys in the passing game. Like, he really spreads the ball around. He completed, I think, between 53 and 57 passes to four different receivers last year, and another four got between 10 and 28. So he is really spreading the ball around, which sort of mitigates the importance of any individual loss. So that's kind of where I'm at with McSorley. I'm not sky high on him, but I'm not going to like knock him way down the board because of Moorhead either. If he falls into my value range, I'll be happy to own him in a league, but I'm not going to reach for him this year.
It's an interesting discussion to hear you talk about, you know, from a fantasy perspective, what you believe the issues are on McSorley's path to production. And it's not, if you're doing fantasy football right, college or pro, you're not really looking at things any differently than if you were to try to project Penn State's success this year. I think that's the key to all this is being able to interpret his surroundings, and you're talking about real football issues that can impact numbers. It's a misconception from people, I believe, who don't play fantasy sports, is that it's just, you're just looking at numbers and that's it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, another aspect of my job is that we preview all 130 teams leading up to the start of the season, and we put them up on RotoWorld with our projections of if they're going to go over or under the Vegas win total. So we're breaking them down as teams. But within that, you're also sort of projecting the offense, you're projecting the defense. And with regards to the offense, this absolutely plays hand in hand with the kind of offense they will run, with the kind of success that offense will have. Like, how does it look? You know, like we mentioned Deshaun Hamilton leaving and some of the guys that they've, you know, that have left or whatever. You have to project, well, okay, how is Miles Sanders going to look in that Saquon Barkley role? Or who is the other receiver outside of Johnson and Tompkins who is going to step up? Is Justin Shorter going to be the sleeper guy? Is how many touches is Ricky Slade going to get this year, right? How much is Tommy Stevens going to be used in that offense? And yeah, I going back to your misconception thing, I think that's a great point, because you know, we're looking at things that really matter in football. We're looking at offensive quality and how Penn State is going to get to that level of quality that we're projecting, and that's how we get our fantasy projection. So I think it all goes hand in hand. I don't think it anesthetizes the game or anything like that. I just think it's super fun.
Yeah, that's an awesome word, by the way. And anesthetizes, whatever. I catch a drift, even if I can't say it. Let me circle back to McSorley for just a moment, just from a NFL draft perspective. I think the easy comparison is Baker Mayfield, because you see, you know, an undersized grinder type who is going to leave his college football program that will be a top 10 type program with a lot of production that can run it and throw it. How good or bad is the Baker Mayfield comparison? How are those guys the same or different?
I don't love it. And this goes more to the fact that I don't love that NFL draft writers do this a lot, where there's like one guy that comes out who's a pretty unique prospect, and Baker Mayfield is one of the more unique quarterback prospects we've gotten, what, the past decade or so. And now all of a sudden, you know, you go into the next year and it's like, oh, which quarterback around 6 feet or a little bit under 6 feet is good? And then he sort of gets tagged with the Mayfield comp. In McSorley's case, I disagree with it for a few different reasons. Mayfield's arm is better, number one. I liked the and that's not only pushing the ball down the field, but that is also, you know, fitting balls into windows in the intermediate sector of the field, which Mayfield was one of the best that I've seen in the past. Well, I've only been doing this job, the NFL draft, for 5 years, but I've been watching college football now for 30 or so. Mayfield's one of the better ones I've seen fitting balls into those intermediate windows. He just has a bit more zip on the arm. So One of my concerns with McSorley, as far as projecting him to the NFL, is the arm strength thing. Another one is Joe Moorhead. I respect Joe Moorhead about as much as I respect any offensive mind in college football. I just think, you know, the term genius gets tossed around a lot, and a lot of times it's unwarranted. With Joe Moorhead, it is absolutely warranted. Like, the way that he created that offense at Fordham and then brought it over to Penn State, and you guys were like a slightly below average FBS offense when he got there, and he just immediately ratcheted it up, and the RPOs, and you read the safeties, you know, pre-snap, and you're able to take them out of the plays, and the whole thing is just tremendous. So, you know, as far as like with McSorley, I see him getting schemed into completions a lot. And obviously in the NFL, they're not going to be able to scheme him into completions in the same way. So those are some of my concerns. All that being said, I do rank him as quarterback 11 going into next season, which would sort of put him on the fringe of being drafted. And obviously he could move up higher than that, but that's where I see him right now, sort of like in that late day three or high undrafted free agent type territory. But he could absolutely move up. I'm just not totally down with the Mayfield comparisons, even though I know why they're being thrown around.
Yeah, that's fair. I felt like Baker Mayfield was just a more dynamic athlete all around too. So I think that it's on the surface it's fair, but I think there's more to it than that. We got about 40 seconds or so. Miles Sanders, same deal. You've seen enough of him to rank him among the better draft prospects at his position, despite not seeing a whole lot of him. What have you seen from him in 2 years of as a reserve?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, going back to the projection thing, I am tentatively bullish on Miles Sanders. I rank him as the 20th running back in fantasy football. Obviously, he's a big mystery box, but we know obviously he was a stud recruit, was a top 50 back, or I'm sorry, top 50 overall recruit in the 2016 class. He doesn't have a lot of wear on his tires, and obviously he's coming into the Saquon Barkley role. What I saw from him in his limited touches last year, averaged 6.2 yards per carry. He showed a little bit of explosion in that small sample size. I think the one difference between him and Saquon, you know, outside of the fact that Saquon's the best running back I've seen in college football for the past 10 years or so, is Saquon, you know, just a dynamic athlete, obviously, but you would see him do more dancing. You know, the Penn State rushing game, they got stuffed at the line of scrimmage way more than they should have last year, but then they broke, obviously, way more touchdowns because that was just Saquon's game. There was a little bit of dancing there. That I don't see that with Sanders. I see more of a north-south guy, and so I think that's going to change the offense slightly. I think you're going to see less getting stuffed at the line, but also less long, explosive touchdown runs with Miles Sanders.
And we'll see how it all looks in the end. Thor Nystrom from RotoWorld talking some Penn State football with us. Thank you, Thor.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're moving on. Quarterbacks and running backs are the theme for the next segment as well. Stick around.
Summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't do this anywhere but Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.